I know the Bible tells us that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. But folks, I have some fear about some things. I have some great concern about our country. And I heard the song service this morning, and Brother Sam didn't know what I was preaching on. Michelle didn't know what I was preaching. But somewhat of a theme of grace. And folks, it's God's grace that we need to get through the things that we're going through now. And I think we would all agree, if I looked across the auditorium this morning and in the raise of hands, we would all agree that none of us would ever thought we would be today. And I have great cause and I have great concern for several reasons. Number one is I've got grandchildren. if the Lord tears his return, it'll be others. I've got nieces and nephews. You know, I've got a son who just graduated high school, going off to college. And even though he scored very high on his ACTs, the little knowledge of history. And I wonder how many of Americans today has even recently read our Constitution of our country. As I mentioned in Sunday school, I want to have copies of those made available later through this month. They're there in the foyer for you to pick up. I want to challenge, encourage you to read it. And folks, you cannot read our Constitution. You cannot go back through our countries and things and did not think that God was in mind when it was developed. But yet, where are we at today? Boy, it grieves me in somewhat of a little bit of fear and trembling as I pray and ask God to work and to change things. And, oh, I want to see revival in our world today. I want to see revival in America. But most of all, I want to see revival right here in our church, right here in Maricopa County, right here in Arizona, and let it spill over to the other places. But it needs to start somewhere. This morning, the present generation seems to be anything but traditional. Many are unshockable by the behavior of their peers. It seems only those of today that are up and all and shocked and appalled are those that are our generation or a few generations younger forward, but the younger generation. The decline of our culture is a constant enemy of our family. The live and let live. I want it my way philosophy has affected or infected schools, businesses, families, and even our churches today. I was saddened to read the news this past week where a church, a non-denominational church of somewhat of an ecumenical belief, stood in this platform and apologized because of who was on their bulletin or an advertisement of their calendar. I just don't understand. Dear friends, the devil is always changing the meaning of terms. Nothing new about his methods of chaos. He has hijacked and weaponized the meaning of words in terms that causes this chaotic culture. Let me give you a few examples. MAGA, liberal, progressive, snowflake, woke, social justice, cancel culture have become terms known as skunk terms because they are phrases that are increasingly used in such chaotic, toxic ways that they stink too much to be used in the original meaning and context of the words. Even though Timothy was not raised in a traditional family, he became a great man. He became a godly man, a man of God that was used as a leader in the early church. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, as Paul writes to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that thou from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Oh, how we need to get back and continuing in the word of those things which we've been taught as a child. See, God used Timothy's grandmother and his mother to help him overcome the chaotic nature and culture that he grew up in, the culture of his day. Contrary to Joy and Sonny's opinion, dear friends, there's nothing wrong with a mom wanting her husband or her son to succeed and do well. I believe it's admirable. I believe it's biblical for a wife, for a mother, for a mom to want her husband and her son and her children to succeed and be godly. Young people. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And then in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. We live in a society and a time today that the gospel, biblical principles, are not being taught, encouraged at home. And we know they're not going to get in the public school system. They're going to get everything contrary to those things. I'm appalled once again, and I want to be careful and tread lightly here, but I'm appalled here recently of reading the news how once again the Bible and some biblical principles and some Bible clubs and the Bible itself was banned from one of the public library schools, but yet all this other stuff that is allowed in. Folks, what a world that we live in. That's why I'm so emotional this morning. It's why I'm so greatly concerned and have fear of what has happened. It's like we've just woke up and our world has been turned upside down, but that's not the case. It's been a gradually changed over the last probably 50 plus years. How can we overcome? How can we obtain the grace that is needed in this chaotic culture of our day this morning? I have three things I'd like to share with you. How can we overcome? Number one, by living out biblical faith. By living out biblical faith. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, Timothy had been raised with a strong faith in God and in God's word. The Bible is very clear here. Timothy had a Bible-based faith, or an unfeigned faith. Meaning unfeigned, meaning undisguised, sincere, not of hypocrisy. I mean, it was not only taught at home, it was lived at home. It was lived in the community. It was practiced in what they were taught. Notice with me, faith is what we need by living out a biblical faith, a faith that shows God's love. So we have become so venomous, and why words have changed so much in our society, that sometimes we may have to say some hard things, but are we saying it in love? Are we saying in support of the Word of God? Our children need a foundation of faith. They need a foundation to build upon, biblical foundation built upon Bible principles and love. Our children need that. Lois here, as her Bible refers to, Timothy's grandmother, her name means agreeable. This may or may not, but this may indicate her willingness to agree with God and believe His promises. Sincere faith begins with a personal faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's where it all begins. No foundation can be built on until that is established. It can be taught, it can be given, it can be pitched, but until it's received and understood, it's hard to build any more upon that foundation. And then there's Eunice, the mother. It means good victory. To continue in the Christian life and to have good victory, ladies, gentlemen, we must continue to walk by faith. Never underestimate the challenges of motherhood. Eunice had a steadfast love. We need more ladies today, more moms today, more grandmothers, more ladies in general willing to live the role that God has designed and set for them, to be willing to be feminine, to be willing to be godly, to be willing to be what God has created them and live out that biblical faith. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We need to walk in faith, by faith, but in Him. Why do we fear? And don't misunderstand, I'm not contradicting myself. I do have some fear and I'm concerned, but I do not need to have a fear of living for Christ. I may have a fear of what's around the corner. I may have a fear of where the heading, the direction our world is going to, but right now, in the present, I do not need to have fear about living for Christ. And that's the problem we're having. Too many Christians are weak. They're not willing to speak up. They're not willing to live for Christ. They're not willing to vote and do what is right. They're not willing to voice what is right. But yet that concerns me because of this. I wonder across our nation today how many Christians are truly willing to not only live by faith, but to live in faith. Faith that shows God's love. Again, sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it. And my pastor taught me a long time ago, Brother Doug, I know sometimes we have to preach some hard things. Sometimes we feel like that we have to really be a little harsh. But let me tell you something. If you do it in love, and you do it with a tear in your eye, and you do it in a biblical fashion, the people will receive it, God will honor it, and the Holy Spirit will work. I know, say, hey, I don't know about you. I've sat where you sat, and I felt like I got a good skinning. But you know what? I needed it. And I knew my pastor loved me and he cared for me. Not only faith that shows God's love, but faith that eliminates fear. Again in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, fear is a form of bondage, a lack of belonging. Many people today struggle with this type of fear. The fear is like slavery. When we fear the world, opposed to having a reverential fear from God, we put us in the positions of being a bond slave to the Lord or a slave to the world. If you have a big God, dear friends, you have little problems. But if you have a little God, you have big problems. So let me ask this morning, how big is our God to us? How real is our God to us? Are we willing to walk with Him and in Him on a daily basis? Godly faith empowers. It doesn't weaken. His Spirit imparts grace and strength to the believer. That is our source of power. Just like we plug in the sound system and expect to get a microphone to work, plug in and turn on the organ over here, the piano, we expect to produce electricity, to produce what it's designed to do. It's the same thing with us. We need to plug into God, plug into the Word of God, and allow our power source, the Holy Spirit, to provide what we need on a daily basis. Godly faith empowers, and then godly faith also loves. You see, love enables us to believe, to endure, and to hope in all things. It's the love of God that gave His Son. It's the love of Christ who willingly gave Him Himself. And it should be the love of Christians willing to live for Christ. After all, if He's willing to die, should we not be willing to live for Him? 1 Corinthians, our chapter of love, verse number 7, referring to charity, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Dear friends, if you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Amen? If you care for somebody, you tell them the truth. Again, I've said this before, when people seek counsel with me, whether it be my children, my grandchildren, or others, I ask them, well, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or what you need to hear, what the Bible says? Because there is a big, vast difference. Godly faith empowers. Godly faith loves. And godly faith is sound, as we read here in verse number 7, of a sound mind. A sound mind has clear understanding and sound judgment. And the best way to have that godly sound and that godly faith and sound is to start in and be in the Word of God and be willing to live for Christ. That's the problem we have of such a chaotic world. We live in a world today with all this going on in the news, all those that have the squeaky wheels and making the most noise are a small percentage, but yet they're getting all the attention. And we as believers need to speak up a little more in love, live out our faith. We need to also be a little bit of the squeaky wheel and sharing our faith and doing what is right, no matter what may come or what may go. We live in such a chaotic world today, and I know this is not politically correct, but God designed two genders. Only two. Not the 300 and some that's listed in the dictionary. One man and one woman. Again, as the old preacher said, God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. But we live in a time today where everything is turned upside down. No wonder our children are confused. I read again this morning in the news, early this morning, about one of these men who was a Navy SEAL, went through the change, and then said later, went back and said, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Don't do this to your kids. But yet, he'll get little to no attention. But dear friends, just like the Word of God, it's not getting the attention that it needs to get. God's people need to speak up. Again, by living out biblical faith. And number two this morning, by developing a biblical loving family. By developing a biblical loving family. Again, and notice of verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thee first, and in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Paul says, I am persuaded, I am convinced that you're living the same way your grandmother did, the same way your mother did. I'm convinced you will continue living that way. He's challenging and encouraging him to continue on. And dear friends, we have seen an ongoing problem in our culture called domestic violence. And then you add the wackadoodle views of DEI, social justice, CRT, and we have a chaotic, woke society attacking the home that God's designed for the family. We have disrupted words, changed the meanings, and trying to plug them in other areas. There are a lot of good ideas in some of these things, but it's applied and used venomously and not in the right way or a loving, biblical way. And we as family members, you know what? Though we have no kids in school, it might be good for some of us to show up to school board meetings and voice our opinion. Amen? It might be a good idea knowing that, hey, they may not be my kids, may not be my grandkids, but they are the future generation that the Lord tarries that will be ruling and reigning in our country. And we need to give our voice the very place that it's supposed to provide well-being, balance, and belonging is attacked the most by Satan. Yet many homes and schools are not places of education or safety any longer today. Husbands and wives must also build up one another as they build their family in Christ. God has a plan. God has a design. And when it has worked and the plan has worked, it is successful. It works. It's God's plan and God's purpose. But yet we want to shake it up. We want to mix it up. We want to do something a little bit different. And dear friends, when we try to do it our own way, that's when chaos enters. That's when Satan gets a foothold in. That's when he gets in and begins changing the terms and definition of words and causing things to be chaotic. Wives, only you and you first, because ladies first and I'm a gentleman. I'll get to you men in a moment. Wives, lovingly support, encourage, and care for your husband. Don't be ashamed. There are many fears and challenges that men face every single day. And God has ordained marriage as a relationship to build and to encourage the husband. Ladies, your husbands need your support. It's God's plan. I tell you, I need my wife's support. I don't know about you. Again, I'll just be honest with you. There's once in a while that my wife kicks me under the table, right in the shins, because of either what she thinks I want to say or what I just said. Maybe it wasn't politically correct. Maybe it was a little bit too harsh. Maybe the timing wasn't right. And I may have some bruised shins, but I thank God for her. She is my helpmeet. Amen? Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, "For after this manner in the old time of the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are." Dear friends, God's helpmate for man is his wife. But there are those in the media that attack and tear down the biblical family. We have television shows, cartoon television shows, that tear down the dad, that tear down the family. They accuse women of being racist or being slaves if they vote like their husband, follow their husband's leadership, or attempt to fit in, to lift him up, to encourage him, or to help their children, especially their sons, to succeed. What chaos! There is no biblical background supporting that. The Bible has made it very clear, gentlemen, like it or not, we're not that we're weak. In many areas we are. God created the woman for us. In fact, she was so good that Adam didn't just say woman. He said, whoa, man. And that's how we should look at our wives. That's how we should adore and honor her, because she is our helpmeet. She is not second class. She is not to walk a few steps behind me, but by my side. And by our side, because she is a help to us. And now, gentlemen, husbands, lovingly praise your wives. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 28, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." See, often we hear feminists criticizing the biblical teaching regarding the woman's support and her role as to her husband. Yet the Bible teaches clearly that the husband is to honor his wife. He should build security into his wife as she encourages and helps him along the way as his helpmate. See, when we elevate dependability, we eliminate doubts. And dear friends, I don't know about you. This is a subject nobody wants to talk about. But I tell you what, if the Lord was happening to take my wife before she takes me, I hope we go together because I'll be a mess. I'll be putting my foot in my mouth all the time. I have nobody to kick my shins. But dear friends, we need to, gentlemen. Not only does the wife need to play her role, but gentlemen, we need to honor the role that God has designed for us, no matter if she does or doesn't. Ladies, you're designed to develop and fulfill your role, even if your husband doesn't his. It's not a conditional thing. It's a command, a plan, and a purpose that God has and established in His Word. The Bible tells in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, and verse number 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Boy, you want a real test, gentlemen? Ask yourself, do I love my wife like God loves the church? Am I loving and caring for her in the same way? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or blemish or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Husbands, love and praise your wives. Ladies, lovingly support, encourage, and care for your husband. And then parents, lovingly guide, nurture, and protect your children. I tell you what, I know when I was growing up, Mama, please forgive me if you happen to watch this video. When I was growing up, there was no doubt in my mind that my mama watched out for her youngins. In fact, I remember in the backyard playing, and one of our neighbor ladies being quite rude, saying a few choice words, criticizing not only her kids, but criticizing her husband. It took my mom about 5 seconds to get out of the kitchen down to that back gate. And it took that other lady about 5 seconds to run and get in her house. Now, I'm not saying my mom would have whipped her, but I think she could have taken her. But what I'm saying is she was protective. She was on guard. She had a little conversation with us kids as well on why she went down there to defend her kids and her husband. Oh, how we need men and women and moms and dads today lovingly guiding and nurturing their kids. Dear friends, you guide them, not the computer, not Disney Channel, not MTV, or any other channel on the network, or whatever show that is popular within society. If society or the media promote it, be sure it's not biblical. I challenge you, I dare you to find anything in the media, on television today, for the most part, that will support the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and support it with itself, unless it's specifically programmed designing to do that. Dear friends, if it's not supportive of the Bible and loving the family, we need to tune it out. Fathers, provide biblical direction to your children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'm the first one to poke fun. I'm the first one to tease my kids and my girls. I only had one son, had three girls, and I acted most of the time like I was raising four boys. But I did my best to love on them, to teach them, to encourage them, to protect them, and to teach them their role. Fathers, provide biblical direction. Provide a biblical example. And grandfathers, we also need to. It may be today with our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, the only godly picture of a man they'll see is us. And therefore, we need to make sure we're doing that. I don't know how often when I visit my kids and my grandkids, I often take walks with my grandchildren. Just the opportunity for the one-on-one to talk to them, to encourage them, and move things to godly conversations. I just want to be sure that I know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, and encourage them to live godly. Mothers, as the gentlemen of our men provide biblical direction, mothers provide biblical protection. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Let me pause there for a moment. Boy, wouldn't that drive the media crazy to read that? I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Ladies, do not fear to guide in routine and righteousness in your home. Don't be afraid to say, you shouldn't be listening to that. You shouldn't be watching that. You shouldn't be a part of that. Don't be afraid to step in and defend your children. I know we still have some she-bear mamas out there somewhere. And not just in protecting our kids from the bully, but protecting them from Satan, protecting them from the media and the world that we live in today. Listen, folks, this is not my opinion. This is Bible, God's plan for the family. Do not conform to the chaotic culture of our world that we live in today. We might have to live in the world, but we do not have to allow the world to live in us. As I heard the old Navy sailors say, the ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. And it's okay to be out there. It's okay to live there, but don't let them move in with us. When you leave the store and close the door, it ought to be something different. But folks, I don't know about you. When it's not talk radio, was here lately, it's been less and less. When I get back in my car and start the engine, I feel like I'm dirty. I need to turn on some gospel music. Amen. I need to listen to something to help me, encourage me from what I just seen or what I just may have heard. Even yesterday, our neighbors calling, complaining with the police about some other neighbors and what was going on in the streets. And I won't get into that this morning, but I thought to myself, I can remember a time growing up where that would never take place. All the dad had to do is go by and say, hey, fella, you know, I wish you guys would kind of chill out here a little bit and cool it down. You know that's not right. And someone's going to call the law, and you're not setting a good example for your kids. And most of the time, the gentleman would bow his head and say, you know, you're right, I'm so sorry. And he'd get his kids in line. Today, most people are afraid to do that because he might pull out a sidearm and shoot him right there in the street. Or pick up a rake and beat him half to death. That's the culture that we live in. That's why it's chaotic. It's because we need more believers, more Christians standing for what is truth. Again, when we elevate dependability, we help eliminate doubts. And again, let's make sure, fathers, that we provide biblical direction. Mothers, the biblical protection. How can we? And by the way, stick to God's word and his plan for the biblical family. You don't need to look it up in a magazine. You don't need to read something and watch Christian TV or radio to find it. Open the Word of God. Get into a good Bible preaching church. You'll hear about it. You'll learn about it. Just apply it to your life. How can we overcome this chaotic culture that we live in? By living out biblical faith, by developing biblical loving family. And then lastly, number three this morning, by accepting his biblical plan, verse 8 and verse 9. Here, that's the problem today. We don't want to receive it. We don't want to accept it. We may acknowledge it. We may even have a Bible in our home, but the only time it gets opened is on Sunday. What a shame. Look at verse 8 and verse number 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and have called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has been given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, children need to know that God has a plan for their lives. And being on the receiving end of occasional affliction from this chaotic culture is reality. It's going to happen. Just because you live for the Lord doesn't mean everything's going to be wonderful. Just because you're living for God and go to church and give an offering doesn't mean that everything's going to be great. No, that's not how it works. The reality of the world is, if you're living for God, you're going to face adversity. You show me anyone in the Bible. You show me anyone on earth today that is not facing some type of adversity if they're living for God. The world doesn't like it, but mostly Satan doesn't like it. God's plan for his children, as we read there in verse number 9. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If we're going to accept his biblical plan, we need to realize that God has a plan for his children. God has a plan for you and I, who has saved us in verse 9 and called us with a holy with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Dear friends, we need to understand that God has a plan for his children. And that plan for us as a part is also is the living out the gospel. His plan and grace for his children there, verse 9, before the world began. That word purpose here means that he has a plan for our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, we have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." But we live in a time today that nobody necessarily wants to do what's right. They clock in on Sundays and coast the rest of the week. We live in a world today that wants a get out of jail free card. I can remember some years ago, our oldest daughter's first husband passed away. And he had family members that were involved in the police department in the state of Ohio. In the state of Ohio, it was widely recognized through the state at that time. If they could give you a get out of jail free card, actually they would give you somewhat of an imitation badge. And my son-in-law pulled that badge out numerous times to get out of speeding tickets, to get out of fines, parking violations. I thought to myself, when does it end? When does it end? Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. And basically, that's what we're doing today as Christians. Well, I got to get out of hell card. I don't have to worry about it. I just live like I want to live. What come, what may go, I've got to get out of hell free card. No, you don't. If you believe that, I doubt your salvation. If you really believe you can just live like the world because you said a prayer, folks, I've got to ask you, was there really true repentance in that? The Bible says to be saved, you've got to repent and turn from your sins, denounce them, and live for the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can live above sin, but I tell you what, when we sin, we are regretful. When we sin, we get under conviction. And the best way to get under conviction of our sin is to get into the Word and get into church. To hear the preaching that the Lord may convict and show you your need. Again, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Dear friends, we can trust his purpose and his plan for our life. His grace is sufficient and is renewed fresh day by day, each and every morning. Accept his plan for your life and serve him. Live for him. Dear friends, I know it is easy. It is easy just to let go and say, I'm just tired. We all get that way. That's what the evening is for, when you lay down and go to sleep at night. Get recharged and start again the next day and live for God. Because there's somebody out there that needs you to. The person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, across the other row, they need to see you living for God, having a desire to do what is right, because it can be contagious and people will catch on and others see their need. There's too many people in the world today that feel like the churches are full of hypocrites. And dear friends, I hate to say it, they may not be full, but they're in there. Not only God's plan for his children, but God's salvation plan for the world. If we're going to accept his biblical plan, we need to recognize his plan for his children and his salvation plan for the world. Again, there in verse 9 and 10, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Dear friends, he saved us through the gospel. He eliminates death through the gospel. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. And dear friends, we have the good news and we should be sharing it. We have what is needed. We have the problem for sin and we need to share it, but we need to live it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known," again Paul writing to Timothy, "thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I got under conviction one day last week. I can't remember what day it is. I don't even want to think about it. But I did. Went into the store and you ever had that thought? I used to be that big. I used to be that strong. I've got that sunken chest syndrome. What used to be up here is now down here in my drawers. My arms aren't quite the pythons they were at 18 inches when I was in high school and college. I was in the store and saw the guy. He had one of those tank tops. And our side, I always called them tank tops. Here's another thing that's changed. Our kids today call them wife beaters. What a name for a shirt. But anyway, he's wearing a top, a tank top. Had those big broad shoulders and arms and big old muscles, big old pythons. And I couldn't help for a moment. I said, man, those days are gone for me. Man, they're gone. What happened? Why did I quit? Why didn't I keep up with it? And then the Holy Spirit said, are you still spiritually fit? The body might be a little weaker. Body might be a little frail. Might have a little arthritis in the hands and the shoulders and the hips, but what about spiritually? What about the mind? Dear friends, some of our got up and go may have got up and left. We may not be the man or the woman we used to be in our physical health condition, but there's no reason until the day we die we cannot be spiritually fit. There's no reason that we can't live a right life no matter what we're doing, how we're doing, any way we're doing it. Here recently, I had the chance of visiting International Bible College and Seminary. They were with us this past week. What a blessing they were. If you missed services last Wednesday, you missed a blessing. We hope to have them back again here soon. I remember visiting, and Dr. Tetro was one of the former presidents of the college. He's passed on, went on to be with the Lord. I had the privilege of meeting him some years ago, spending a whole week with him as he preached in our church every single night. He stayed in the home of Michelle and I. I got up and walked with him every morning. And I shared with the president college of the seminary and the dean of students, and they were like, "Real? We didn't realize that you knew Brother Tetro." And he said, "We never got a chance to know him very well because he died, whether it be their first year on staff or while they were still a student in school." And I say, and they share some things with me. And he said, "Well, let me tell you something that you probably would believe it be true, but because you know Dr. Tetro, but let us share a few things that we learned about in school and about some things that were rehearsed with Dr. Tetro while he was in the hospital." Until the day he died with his respiratory health issue, he was preaching, teaching, and loving the nurses and doctors. Anyone that walked in the room, he wanted to make sure that they were on their way to heaven. Any nurse, any doctor, any orderly, any LPN, any janitor, anyone that walked in, he'd say, "Hey, how you doing today? How's God treating you?" And it wouldn't be long that he would lead his way to salvation. Here he is, dying, will probably never leave the hospital. Hospice on call, be ready. But he was more concerned about someone else dying and going to hell than he was about living himself. A man of passion. A man that loves people. A man that knew and practiced biblical principles. And he desired to live for the Lord. There is no doubt that he lived a biblical faith. There is no doubt that he desired to develop biblical loving family within his own community. And there's no doubt that he accepted God's biblical plan for him as he tried to witness and minister to others. The last thing he told me, and we'll have a word of prayer. Michelle, if you'll make your way to the piano. During the time that he was in the hospital, his voice was so bad that sometimes he could barely talk. And there's even times that he would call his secretary or call someone and say, "Hey, I've got a few more thoughts about this book that I've written on. Can you take down a few things for me?" In his dying breath, he was still wanting to produce material, biblical material, talk to others, and to mentor others. And dear friends, if God has given us health, we're above ground, we still have our voice, should we not be willing to do all we can, and not only ourselves overcoming this chaotic culture, but doing our best in helping others, mentoring others, making a difference in the life of others? Dear gentlemen, we're never too old to mentor someone else. Ladies, you're never too old to mother, to mentor, encourage others in your life. It doesn't just have to be your husband and your own men. There's other young men who may look up to you that you can encourage and pray for and make a difference in their life. Dear friends, we need God's grace. We need God's provision. But most of all, we need a willing heart, an obedient spirit to overcome the counterculture of the world that we live in today. So what will you do? Will you strive to live out biblical faith? We work on developing, continuing to develop, because you should never end, a biblical, loving family, even if it's only two at home. Will you also accept his biblical plan for you at whatever stage of life you're in and just keep serving? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's no one looking around. Our pianist will begin playing in a moment. As soon as she's ready. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, whether it's come to pray under conviction, whether it's come to pray and say, Lord, we need a change, whatever the case may be this morning, if God has put something on your heart and you see it and have a need and desire to pray where you're at or here at the altar, now is the time to go before the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? This chaotic culture of the world that we live in today. Oh, how we need to pray for our leadership, from our president down. How we need to pray for our community, our families, our church family, for our pastor and his family, for one another. Our minds are clear. Look this way. We'll close a public invitation. Let's continue to pray for our country, for our church family, for our community. Forget tonight, 4:45 choir practice. Church will begin at 6 o'clock, and Lord willing, we'll head over by the fellowship hall around 6:45 or so. If Sam can do his part and I can do my part, and we'll have a time of fellowship and ice cream, but most importantly, a time of fellowship with one another. Let me encourage you to be back. Always remember, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask as well. Brother Leonard, would you please lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer?